I will open our regular board meeting at 6:28 on January 12, 2023. So first item of business today is a reorganization. This is where we will nominate and ultimately select a chair, a vice chair, and a treasurer. We also need to discuss and decide board meeting times and holidays. What's the holidays?
Just
to make sure that we're
still
account for those.
Yeah. Do you want me to grab it off and put it in there?
Yeah. So first things first, let's open the process, accept nominations for a chairman.
I would nominate Dustin Wilson. I second that.
Fortunately, we have the option to decline, and I will be probably exercising that tonight. It's time for somebody else to do a chair position, but appreciate it. After 2 years, I don't want to hog the spotlight. So, open it back up.
I'll nominate Drew Ashler. Second to that.
I nominated and seconded. Is there any other nominations?
These are pretty desperate.
Hearing none, call for the question. Those that nominate Drew Ashler for the chair, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Unanimous. So, do I switch him now and then he can finish this out?
No, finish it and then switch. When you
what just happened?
Hey, I've been there.
You know what just happened.
It wasn't unanimous, just so you know.
Oh,
there was one name.
There was one name? I didn't hear that. I'm sorry. Okay, now take nominations for vice chair.
I nominate Paul Pershall.
I second that.
It's been nominated. Paul, I'm a second. Is there any other nominations to consider? Hearing none. Those in favor for Paul to be appointed as the vice chair, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Done.
Abstain.
Treasurer. I will now open for nominations for the treasurer.
Nominate Dean Bruff.
Dean Bruff is nominated.
You can't do that twice in a row, can you?
Yeah, both sides of that.
Apparently we chair twice, so sorry. Seconded by Paul. Any other nominations to consider? Hearing none. Those in favor to approve Dean Bruff as our treasurer, say aye.
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 Unanimous. Now we switch, or we do the holidays. Let's do the holidays since we're reorganizing. I can't do it. I voted out. All right. So we then the last 2022 has been on the second Tuesday or Thursday of every month. It's been moving around, but the official. The official dates were on the second Thursday. So is there any discussion around, do we want to maintain, do we want to change that? As we get different board members, schedules, sometimes conflicts, and so we can put it on any day. I think we're obliged to do it once a month, so you can't say, you know, on July 23rd and be done with the whole year. So it's got to be any day of the month. Can be considered.
We can shuffle around meetings with the months that we do have conflicts. I know August is going to have to be shuffled if we're going to have it on the second.
Yeah.
But we can do that.
This is just setting the regular schedule, but we can change them as we have. But if it's going to be a if you can foresee that there's a conflict in your schedule, and that'd be better to resolve that now if it's something that's visible. If we don't have it, then we can maintain. So it's just up to you guys. And we can even change the times too, because it's 6:30. Let's just do them both at the same time, the time and date. What day we want to do it and what time.
I would propose we keep the second Thursday at 6:30 as a regular meeting with changes if something comes up and we have to.
I'll second that.
Okay, so in favor of maintaining the rate, do we have to approve that? It's just keep going. It's already
just keep going. Just same. Keep it the same as last year.
Let's keep it the same. We have to do approval on that, on motion. I will do it. Those in favor of maintaining the same schedule, say aye.
Aye.
There, it's done. It wouldn't hurt that. Okay, what are we going to do with the holidays?
Just keep it the same if you want, or if you want to shuffle.
Okay, holidays. I thought we did this during budget.
We did.
Okay, well, let's review the holidays that are in consideration for this year.
We went through, and I think these are the dates for the same ones that we have on the calendar.
They did not match. This was last year?
That's last
okay.
Year.
So January 2nd, which will be New Year's, apparently, huh? We already did that one. So, and then the 16th is Martin Luther King. That's this coming Monday. President's Day, which is February 20th this year. Memorial Day is May 29th. Independence Day, the 24th. Labor Day, Columbus Day, Thanksgiving, and the day after Thanksgiving, Christmas, and Christmas Eve. So that is a total of one.
And then the new one is not on here.
The Juneteenth?
Yeah.
So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 holidays. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. We have 13 holidays throughout the calendar year for 2023. We need to decide to approve or amend or change the...
Does it say it's last year?
Yeah.
Except for June.
Juneteenth. They took Juneteenth off.
We did Juneteenth last year as well.
What is Juneteenth?
Liberation of...
It's when the news got to Texas that the slaves, 2 years later, the slaves were freed. So that was the last place that they finally got the news out. And so they're celebrating that as the official end of slavery because it was finally recognized on that day. So it's probably a more appropriate day for recognizing the end of slavery because back then they didn't have the internet. They didn't have CNN to tell them all the truth going on.
Right. So do we need a motion for that?
Yeah, just to approve the as presented or change, just amend it.
Move that we accept for however we're accept what was previously done in 2022.
Okay. Motion. It's a move that we maintain the same holidays we did in 2022. Those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Unanimous. Is that it?
Yes.
Change of guard.
How are you? You can stay there.
I know.
Huh?
You can stay. You gotta go over there and run and help with notes and stuff. It becomes easier. When you can push paper and sign paper.
Well.
Talk about railroading.
Okay. So, I guess we'll take care of some appointments that are here first and foremost. Do you mind? You're going to be here a while, Jason, or just for the appointment?
You got other.
Let's get Brad since he's here, let's just jump to Brad real quick. Brad, you want to come up here and sit?
Sure.
I guess, Dixon, do you have, do you want to report on this or give us a...
No, I just invited him in because he wants to talk to him about this.
Tell me.
Oh, gotcha. Is he aware? Yeah. You talked to him? Okay. You want
to... I told him that they had concerns about...
Mm-hmm. So, do you want to give us just a little background on this?
So, when you passed the resolution to put the pipeline in, you didn't make any stipulation on it. You said that Johnson Water would install the pipeline. So, if to me, that meant that we were going to pay for it as well. But then I guess you guys held a meeting later on, and you wanted me to talk to Brad about possibly getting contribution from him. And
no, what it was is there was a bit, there was some different understanding of the original meeting that and I don't know if it's ever been clarified. So there was just a question raised on which portion was which. So when it was brought up, like who was installing it to his turnout, because there was some understanding that it was from the turnout to the edge of property, because we wanted to make sure that the pipeline was to the edge of property. And so who's responsible from which part? Because, anyway, that's what the question was. I had that question. It wasn't anything new. It was just a clarification. I don't know if it was necessary to bring the end here to clarify, but we just wanted to make sure that everyone's on the same page. And so I asked if they would just ask you what you understood.
Well, from the meeting, I was more with Dixon. I mean, it was never brought up, and there was never one of them, I don't remember which guy it was, but he wanted to make sure that I would give him a right of way to go clear to the end of the property.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To service.
And that was basically, I was a little vague on it, so I just said, let's see. I'm sure that... Brad could clear this up because I was vague, and I don't remember if anybody else had any other really clear
record. So how many feet was it?
500 feet? Or is it 1,000 feet across? What was it? I can't remember. It was about 500, wasn't it? Across the property line?
No, it was 1,500 or something.
It's got to be 1,500. I'd say 1,500 feet.
And the line's installed now?
Yeah.
Yep, the line's installed now.
What kind of the cost?
What was it, Jim?
$56,000, not including the pipe.
Not including the pipe?
Not including the pipe.
Did we sub that out?
We had the pipe from the other
side. From the other side.
No, I mean, it wasn't $56,000.
Oh, that was to have Weldon install it.
Oh. I see. Okay.
And I was gone that meeting, so I have no recollection of the conversation at
all. Yeah, it was I think that's 4-1.
Maybe it was the day to go.
Wash my hands of this one. So I'm not sure.
Apparently I might have been gone too mentally, but I was here. But that was my question. I just remember there was talk about, you know, tying both ends in. We had that 4-inch that was headed up, that used to service the
airport,
and when there was talk about doing that, I wasn't keen on that requiring that as much as it may benefit what you were
doing. We still are tying into that line, too.
Yeah, and that would benefit probably your situation more than anything anyway, because you have a looped line there. But that line is only servicing you now, right, that 4-inch?
4 inches, he hasn't hooked into it yet.
But it will, that's but the only thing be, now, because yeah. There
is a connection that Strata owns right on the corner that they're not using, but it is a connection there.
I'm assuming the line is dead right now, too, right?
I really don't know whether it's on or off. Do you know, Jim?
I think it's on, because I think they have some goats in there, Strata did, and they did turn it on for a little bit.
Some goats?
They brought goats in to clean that
fire protection.
That was right after they built the building. So that's been a day or two.
I didn't realize they had bought a connection after all that fun. That we
no,
had.
It was existing when they bought it. The previous owner.
The connection.
Had all over that property?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't say after all that mess and they come to buy one, that was because that'd been weird.
Right.
But it's not active?
I don't think so right now.
Yeah. So Strata is actually all those about.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun.
Yeah, when we made it,
yeah, go ahead.
We long time dispute with Roosevelt City on boundaries and stuff, and we finally made an agreement that they took over a large part of the industrial park, and that was a contentious point there, and so there was some give and takes around the system, and it was resolved, and now it's under contract on where the clear boundaries are. So that's why it was just brought up as a surprise, because they were kind of the catalyst to kind of really set it up.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Okay.
But anyway, I think we reviewed tape, or did we just review the written minutes on the meeting?
I've got the recording if you want to hear it.
No. I just, what did you find?
You said that the resolution was that we would install from our pipe to the west property line.
Okay. Well, then that's simple enough.
Yeah. So where it was not discussed and there's no agreements made between Brad and Johnson, Brad just assumed that we were going to pick that up because that's all we talked about.
Yeah. Sounds like it's answered. That's why I said it.
So were they, how is the line across the street? Because they were talking about upgrading the line because that line wouldn't service.
It's a 6-inch, right, on the south side still?
No, if we upgraded, it would not come out of that line. It would come out, there's a 12-inch on 4000 West. So if we upgraded it, we'd have to run that 8 the rest of the way down to 4000, hook into that 12. But the 6 is probably sufficient for right now. And it's because it's coming from both directions. It's got so the 8-inch, as near as we can tell, comes to the east side of the road. So there is a section of 6-inch before it hits that new line.
On which side? On the east side?
So we're, to show you. So we're not 8 feeding an 8. It's a 6 feeding an 8.
On the east side?
So I thought it was an 8 we were checking into. Yeah, on the east side.
Well, we had this discussion because we were talking about the line that you, when you built a hider's place there, we had brought a frontage there a long time ago.
So it's 8 to this valve right here.
Oh, okay.
Then it's 6 inches across the road here where it's tight in to this other way.
I'm talking about the one on the south.
Well, yeah, so when it crosses the highway and goes back up.
Toward the west?
Headed west.
Mm-hmm. This one here?
Yep.
So here's where you're going to tie into your road, comes down here, it's going to tie into this valve.
Okay.
And then it ends right here. And this is basically the property line for that next lot. And then, so this is what, 100 and, I don't know exactly what it is, 140 pounds or something on that 6-inch. But down the road at 4,000, this 12-inch comes down here. And this is 165 PSI here. So actually the 6 is also hooked into the 12-inch there, but it's closed. So we could boost it up a little bit, but then we'd have to shut off the backflow to those people.
I don't think your pressure is going to be the problem there. It doesn't sound like it's just the volume is what for fire flows down there. But if we've got an 8, pretty much the only restriction is through the road, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So are we at a source because it's 56,000 should have been bid?
Yeah, we would have been.
In drinking water?
It's not drinking water, it's the state of Utah. Anything over 50,000 is going to be bid.
Did we bid that?
Nope.
Can you give us a $7 letter?
$6,000. Have we paid it? We've probably paid it already.
All right, we'll do that.
Okay. Well, eventually, I would assume the plan would be to upgrade that 6-inch the whole duration of that stint, right?
Well, I think it would just... You mean just keep going?
Yeah. You mean through the road?
Well, just continuing past Jensen's back.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And through the road eventually. Would
I imagine they're going to build those in industrial areas.
Yeah, I see
West
some growth out that way.
I would think so. I think they'll take off quickly.
Yeah.
So that's what I was saying. So would you just get rid of that 6-inch that's on the south side of the road and continue that 8-inch on up and tie it in, and that would upgrade your whole line?
We'd probably keep the 6-inch just because it's hard to cross the road with the new connections, so we've had them both.
Mm. The only problem would be fire flow on the 6-inch.
But if you had fire flow on the, if it went any distance to the south, huh?
We'd be covered on the north, but the south would be...
Well,
depending on how far south, right?
So we have fire flow on the north side of the road.
Right.
If this becomes developed down through here, then it would probably have to come off the 12-inch to get the volume that we need for the number of homes that were proposed for that.
So, for example, with Wyatt, what's the plan?
Well, Wyatt would have, I mean, something that size would we'd want to go into the big stuff.
Right, on a 12, come out with a 12.
Yeah.
And loop it. Okay.
Yeah.
I imagine if some, you know, one-off home, we could pull from the 6. If they're just coming on that side of the road.
We'd have to put all that in the water model and actually see how it all works out.
Okay. Well, for what we've got, Brad, on the agenda, I think we're resolved with what we've done or not done with the planning of this. So, anyways, we'll just have to know to discuss these things in the meetings when we're planning this out. So you're off the hook.
Okay, well, I don't have a problem helping out a little. I mean, I know.
Right.
But, I mean, it's going to save me quite a bit of money to hook into Venus or something. Now I don't have to dig up the road and...
Sure.
Is it worth $10,000?
Is it worth...
get us out of hot water?
What did you say?
Is it worth $7,000 to get us out of hot water?
So our bid... If anything over $50,000, we're supposed to put it out to bid by state statute. And this was $57,000?
$56,000. I was working on the bids. Dixon just came to me and he said, do you have any bids? And I said, yeah, I got one. He says, well, they want to jump on it and do it.
So, you had requested additional bids?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
But I didn't have any. That's the only one that bid.
Oh, so we did official. Okay.
We had other opportunities. Our other people.
I did reach out to others.
And we didn't have any returns, so we're covered then.
All right.
Okay. No, we're good. As long as...
He climbed it too, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fine. As long as it was...
But then he called me and said, I guess I'm right here. Hindsight.
We're covered then. If you requested for our RFQ and didn't receive only one, then we're covered. Okay.
I would think it's going to be, it ain't going to be long enough. 8-inch is going to be extended all the way up at least to that 12-inch because
right.
Yeah.
I think that area will start to take off pretty quick.
I think you're right. Yep.
It's good that you got 12.
Okay. Well.
With lots of pressure, it sounds like.
I think we're all on the same page on that one, so. Okay. Anything else we need to... just an update while Brad is here. Give us an update on your construction of the water line that's coming through you. Where are we at?
I believe he's tied in already to that 8-inch on the headed north. And I think he's up to the end of the subdivision or the where the cul-de-sac turns and heads back to the east.
Did he talk to you about putting a valve in up there by the 90?
Doing what now?
Putting a valve in up there on the 90 so he can do 2 tests.
He did not.
Okay. He said he'd like to, and he was just going to talk to you, see if that was something you'd want to do.
Yeah, I'm careful.
The contractor.
Daniel?
Precision.
Huh? Is it Daniel?
Is he going to do all this? Is he installed in hydrant?
Daniel, is
he going to test everything and come back and talk?
Yeah, can't remember his last name.
Hydrants on that. The one west end.
His contractor.
And then he'd like to test that. And then he'll go east. And I guess there's four on that one.
I think so.
Okay. You guys have been kind of keeping tabs on install?
Not kind of. We're watching.
Good.
Danny's really good.
Yeah, he's been pretty good. I've talked to him a few times just on the sewer side of stuff and put eyes on it as well. He's doing a good job. So. Okay. Well, anything else for Brad while he's here?
So that was the reason I was asked about that 4-inch if it was dead. So when we get over that way, but I'll get with Jim.
The only problem we have is we know Roosevelt cut it off. We don't know where exactly yet, where they plugged it off.
I can talk to Paul.
It should have been right there at the
50. I think he'll remember.
He'll probably remember.
So he capped everything else off, so I assume that he capped it off right there at the intersection.
Check with him. If not, we can get with Roosevelt and get an idea anyway and work together and see where that's at. So.
Well, I'll first go and check if that strata line is live, that service there. Then I'll know there's water there and you'll know that it's still
Okay. So as far as I think next week we're planning on your final, so you'll be in service next week with the first building he's got there. So.
Yep.
All right. Okay, well, if that's all, we'll move on down the list. Okay, thanks, Brad, for coming in.
Before you guys try to do more elections or something.
Yeah, nobody's safe, evidently. Okay, thanks, Brad.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, Jason. Sorry, Jim.
He's comfortable back in their corner anyway.
Right. So, precinct map and independence project update.
I'm going to just ask really quick. I sent the electronic precinct map to you guys.
Did you get that, Karen?
The what?
The electronic.
I never seen that.
I haven't seen that since you
copied me.
Did you include everybody, Jason, or no?
I'll send the shape file. Because I remember you requested the shape file.
Yeah. You sent that?
I'm trying to remember.
I'll already check to see if I can get
it. If you don't remember getting it, I'll resend the shape file.
I know, but doesn't mean anything.
Okay.
Because Jason, it comes from you?
Yeah. What? If you need to get it, I'll make sure.
When would you send it?
Last month, probably.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll resend it. We've got the wall map up. I noticed that the print on it kind of has some weird colors on there, so we'll get that reprinted.
I've added more colors to it.
Have you?
I've been reviewing the parcel information on it to find out actually who is in our district and who is not.
Okay.
So on the screen up here, so I called up the county, and originally we just had this little piece right here, and I said, will you check on this parcel right here and see what it says? And he checked on it, and it was in Johnson Water District, and then all the ones next to it were too, so that's where Dallas's house is down there.
Oh, right.
And so he says, well, we can go through and add those in. I just have to get it cleared through the recorder's office and some stuff. But just since I talked to him the other day, he added this whole area in right here. But there are tons more. Well, I'll talk about it later, but we've got a lot of work to do on that. But they did update that part.
So it shows them as in the tax?
They're in the Johnson Water Testing District. Yeah.
So
So how does it, okay. So how does it not translate to what they provided?
Because they're getting their permission from the county as well, right?
We were using a combination of the boundary that you would already have in your GIS system, which I believe was what the county had provided, and your map here, and the description, the legal descriptions of your precincts. So we're using those three sources, and this is what we came up with. If there's changes to it, we need to get those fixed before we reprint and get those shit across.
So I knew you were going to reprint this, so I didn't worry about dropping it.
That's fine.
Yeah. Probably be a good idea to get everything done before we put it on paper.
Right.
Again.
Yeah.
Okay.
So. Yeah, no worries on that. But, yeah, if you, as soon as you feel like you've got it nailed down, it's in those.
Yeah, we don't have the new, I can see price and stuff isn't on it, is it?
No, they're not annexed.
Right. They haven't filled out that paperwork yet to get it done, as far as I know.
Oh, that's the blank square
in the middle of the very bottom.
No, right here.
That's Mike, I think, where that's.
So like Bethlehem Meadows only has Kim Harding.
Yeah. So in Bethlehem Meadows, Kim Harding's parcel where his house is the only one that's in Johnson Water District.
And Bethlehem Meadows isn't.
And the rest of Bethlehem Meadows is not.
But we're servicing the water
district. We're going to talk about it, though.
Yeah, I've got a whole
thing on it. Okay, we'll pump that down the meeting.
Okay. Well, so we just wanted to give an update about the ledge range stuff, the booster station that we're trying to do upgrades on, which is an extension, essentially, of the Pleasant Valley project still, because that's where the funds are from. So we got a cost from Weldon, and I think we told you that last time. We got a change order made up and sent over to get signed by Jim and Dixon. They had some questions for us, so we haven't got that signed yet, but we'll clarify that for them. Hopefully the plan is to have you guys purchase the materials, and then Weldon will do the construction for most of it. That table kind of shows more or less what the cost breakdown is. So the first column is showing if Weldon was to do all the work by themselves based on their quote and all the other things that we got. One thing to note in the middle, though, that's why the pumps are highlighted, because Jim talked to Mountain Land and those pumps are no longer available. So we're going to have to get a new quote for new pumps. And Jim has a meeting with them, I think, tomorrow, right? So we'll have to get that situated once they get a new quote for us, and that may or may not change the quote. Anyway, so that's one thing to note. The second column was just showing what would happen if Jim and Dixon were to do part of it. They had said that they might be able to do some of the work based on how well they quoted out things. And if you did that, that's what the third column shows, is just what the difference would be, how much you'd save. So if you just had Weldon do all the work, you'd be $47,000 over what we have left in the funds. And then if Jim and Dixon did part of it, then it would be $13,000 over. Of course, that was based on the original quote with the pumps. The pumps are going to probably change, and with the way things are going, probably be more expensive than they were before, but hopefully not by too much. So that's what you're looking at now. That's how much the district would have to supply, would have to pay for, I should say, on their own, in surplus of what funds we have left.
Do we have other quotes on other quotes from the construction part of it?
So this is being worked as a change order.
Okay.
From Pleasant Valley.
So we don't
with your existing contract.
So we don't need to rebid this specifically where we're doing a change order.
Yeah. And you can,
but it's competitive.
I mean, we did get the bids from the two people doing SCADA, and we discussed those and those options. So.
Would it be beneficial to have a look at maybe another contractor just to get a comparison?
How competitive do you think they are on this number?
For the quantity, we're probably right in line with. I mean, Jim, you've been seeing quotes for similar size.
He kept the numbers about the same from Plug
Valley. Well, his installment up, but it was It's because he has to remove to come out here. And it's a small quantity, so, but it's right in line with what you paid him to do, the brass line, very similar in cost to what he did for that, so.
Well.
Which, that may or may not have been high?
Yeah, them numbers were exactly the same as.
Were they?
Yeah.
Okay.
As Pleasant Valley.
So they're basically bidding at what they did the Pleasant Valley job for? Yeah. Okay. Per foot or whatever.
And I think we had a discussion about that because we were.
Yeah, now you mentioned it, I remember too. So the pumps. Jim on the pumps. What's their discussion?
I went and pulled the trigger on them and Jake called them and they said they were not available.
From the manufacturer.
Then they can come back in and we're just going to discuss what our other options are and check on Berkeley pumps and some other brands just to see what their availability is, their price.
Okay.
If we have to wait it out, we'll wait it out.
So when were we proposing construction on this, I guess?
As soon as we can get materials.
Okay. As soon as it dries out and is warm.
Okay, we're not in danger. Is welding okay to wait until
the weather breaks? As far as we've been able to talk to them about it, they know that we're waiting on materials. So, mm-hmm.
Okay.
But we can discuss that with them further and see.
We have pipe, everything left over.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're just waiting on the pump.
Pump and then the internal parts for the booster station.
Mm-hmm. Was any of that pipe that went over on Brad's? Was that?
I've still got leftovers from that.
Still got left. Yeah. Besides.
It's enough to do this one.
Okay. So as far as internal work goes, what give us a detail a little bit of what you guys are thinking on?
To save that $30,000, we was thinking Ryan Dixon and I can go and install most of that internal stuff on that booster station.
Gotcha.
Just hit and miss, kind of.
When you have time.
Because it's not like we're dying to get it done, and I think the cost on that install is a little high.
That's just plumbing, basically.
Yes. And it'll give us something to do on a cold day, because, I mean, we're heated in there, and we can spend some time in there and do it.
Plus the fact we do a better job.
Well, if we can save $34,000 in-house, and if it's plumbing, you guys are fully capable of doing that?
We usually end up explaining to the construction crews on how it's to be done, and it's like, we may as well just
do it. So you're spending half the hours anyway, huh?
Right.
Does the $34,000 savings, does that represent wages and stuff too, or is that just...
No, that does not represent wages. That's just price on their contract. So there would be expense on the wages that you have to pay about, to be honest with you.
Right. Okay. So we probably... Gonna have to pump this one until we get pump prices, I guess, or do we want to do something before? I guess we don't want to let it keep going up. I mean, if you get it,
yeah, we're gonna get tied down.
Yeah, so you're gonna need an answer before our next board meeting on pumps, at least.
This is more informational.
Yeah, this is approved. This is approved.
Well, other than if the pumps are gonna be,
and that's the approval one.
Yeah, if it goes over, the pumps are much more than $50,000. I mean that.
Okay, that was my question.
Well, yeah, I would see that if the total amount's been approved, whatever that amount is, if these guys do work, that reduces that amount.
Oh, gotcha.
So that gives you a little buffer for the pump.
Okay.
And even, we wouldn't have to redo it in the resolution.
Right, right.
Even though the pumps is just materials for the project, so
right.
It's not necessary to...
Okay, that's what you're saying. We've already approved it, so...
Right.
Okay, gotcha.
Yep.
Okay, just informative then. All right.
Yeah, mostly just letting you know what to expect as well. Like a rough estimate of what to expect, you'll have to pay over what's left over to from the funding. Yeah, from the funding.
Seems to be the temperature nowadays.
Yeah. Okay. So the next thing after that then is just the independence project. We're working with the tribe still. We have a meeting next Wednesday. Hopefully we'll actually get to meet with them. We're on the schedule anyways.
Did you get bumped?
We did. Back from December.
Yeah,
we did.
Yeah.
And then, so we got moved to, yeah, next Wednesday, the 18th. Hopefully we can have the meeting with them. With the good thing with our meeting we had in December, we didn't meet with them, but we met with the BIA. They had a couple people that were going to meet or be there with us. And we talked to them, and they told us that if we get the access permit, for, as far as they're concerned with the Lot T parcels, and that the tribe is also the owner of everything basically there, that they're good for us to start the survey as long as they can see the access permit approved by the tribe. And we got the access permit today back finally, so we should be good to let them go. We just got to get it over to the BIA, and then they'll give us the okay.
So what time is that meeting on the 18th?
It's at 10 o'clock, I think, or 9 o'clock. It's at 9. Double check. I'm pretty sure it's
9. 9 o'clock. Yeah.
Okay.
Dixon and Jim, you guys...
That's why I volunteered.
You guys going to go?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
This is our last
one. Okay, good, good.
Was that 9 o'clock?
9 o'clock.
Yeah. Would you recommend anybody from the board, or would less numbers be better?
Generally less is better.
That's what I was thinking. It probably wouldn't be good to bring a lot.
So if you guys are going
and got it handled.
Okay. And ultimately, this meeting with the tribe is more informing on what we're doing, that we're going through the right-of-way process with the BIA, and making just a formal information to them, giving them the formal information of what's going.
Aren't they fixed over majority owner on those parcels?
They are, yeah.
So we have to get their approval. We already got theirs.
So we got the access permit to do the work, to do the surveys, and we're going to let them know that, hey, we're going to do the surveys. We're both right-of-way surveys and cultural surveys, and then come back after we get appraisals done by the BIA seeking for the right-of-way. So
surveys won't be done until March, probably.
Yeah, so we talked to the surveyor. Their price is higher if we go now, lower if we go after the snow melts. So
they think they have to dig up the snow.
And we're probably going to have to be doing culture or bio surveys in the fall for Uvalde's tribes. Anyways, so the survey isn't as detrimental to get done right now, so we're going to hold off on that until the snow melts.
Did I hear somebody today from Jones to the Mill maybe say that that was maybe on the way out?
I've heard that more than once.
It's a rumor, and I think we're pretty hopeful for it. But
I think we all are.
Yeah, I've heard the rumor myself. So
good.
I think it's close. You know.
That would be great.
Well, I say it should be, but nowadays the way they act, it, they don't want to go anything. So
yeah. I mean, I'm not the one to declassify it, but the amount of that we've been finding on projects, I think it's probably pretty close.
Yeah, good.
Well, the more soil we plow through, the more it will grow. So.
Right.
And you're making habitat.
Aeration.
Pretty much. But now we are going to inform them of what our intentions are, and not necessarily ask for the right of way right now, and not negotiate right now, but just let them know that we do want to obtain a right of way, and we're going through the steps of the BIA as outlined for us.
Great. Moving forward.
Yeah.
We're hoping the BIA will work with us, and they should, to help us push through the process too.
And they have talked to the business committee members.
Yeah.
So they're aware.
Yeah, they're aware of what the process is.
That's great.
Blindsiding them. So.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and then there at the bottom, we just wanted to give a rough or an update on where we're at as far as price, as far as what we spent
from the budget. Okay.
And we have a couple other categories, but those are the ones that we've actually spent money in so far. So.
Okay, very good.
Okay.
Any questions for them? Thank you for the update.
Yeah.
All right, I guess we'll jump over to the minutes. Financials, minutes.
Eric from Jones and DeMille.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm
sorry, Eric. I just saw you there. Figured you were one of the guys. So.
Yeah, I don't want to take much of your time because I'm not on the agenda or anything, but I want to make you guys aware of potential development that's going to happen. So I don't know if all of you have heard about it. I'm sure a couple of you have. But the Blue Station over in Mikan, right next to the hideout,
that field around there, we have a client that would like to develop that field and potentially put up to 400 lots in that area there. So he has come to us, and we're in the preliminary phases, just to basically plan to coordinate with you guys, coordinate with Loon Lake and other utilities to see capacity of your guys' system, capacity of Loon Lake, and basically say, is it possible to put up to 400? If it's not, how many could he put, sort of thing. So I want to make you guys aware of that, and then maybe, if possible, schedule a couple of you guys maybe this week or the week after to come into our office, and we can discuss it further and maybe see what the possibility is of getting some connections there.
So this is the same development that the county had a meeting on, I assume?
Yeah. With Ocean Patel?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So they're still forging forward?
They are. They are.
So I think it's really hard. It's hard to make a decision based on a lot of ambiguity. We get a lot of people coming, not a lot, we get some people coming here and say, what can you do? What do you want? Well, I don't know, I just don't know what I can do. And it becomes a kind of a challenge for us, because it can be a trap a little bit too, because, you know, pressures flows, what's going to be the requirements, can be really hard. Is it temporary housing? Is it permanent housing? Is there any industrial? Is there any commercial to it? So
right.
Really hard to answer that question. How many homes can I put into that? Maybe we can do, you know, tell them, say we could, I don't know, max flow rate or something. I don't know. But it's really hard without having, I know probably we're going to be able to do more than Moon Lake's going to be able to do in that area.
Mm-hmm.
As far as volume wise, so we're more likely not going to be the limiting factor for that development unless they come up with a an alternative energy or pay a lot of money to get that result. But I guess he's pretty open ended right now. He just wants to know what
sewer there.
They don't have it.
Right, that's another part of this
study that we don't
look at. Right. Yeah, and they've had perk tests done and things like that, but that's another part of this preliminary study that they've come to us for, is just to look at all the possibilities.
So what would help you to be able to make some determination without, you know, with how much unknown there is?
Right, and they're starting to try to narrow it down, so there are some commercial lots they'd like to put out there. At last we heard it was probably 4. Pretty much along the highway, and then one over by the blue gas station there, and then 400 other lots. That's their hope, I guess I would say. What would help us is basically determining if your system can handle it would be...
That's the question.
So essentially for DDW, of course, I'm sure most of you guys are aware, they require... 3 scenarios to be run, right? More than 3 technically. But they have average daily demand, peak day demand, and then peak instantaneous day, or peak instantaneous demand. And also peak day with fire flow. So essentially, we can model that and see what your system could hold. And we would assign each lot basically an equivalent residential connection. So whether they're commercial or residential, we would assign that in the model. And basically see if your system has the capacity, and they would like us to see that number and tell them that number.
So we run those scenarios back at when we had the meeting with the county, and the proposal of 400 homes was brought up.
Mm-hmm.
We did run those scenarios. Right now, that system is being close to fulfilled, or that part of the system is being close to tapped out. So if they wanted to put that much demand on your system, we estimated it was roughly 1,000 gallons per minute. They would need to bring the infrastructure in place to make it happen. Bringing the infrastructure into place to make it happen would be either a new line from the Bridgeland tank, but there's also the storage. That many connections puts you close to the limit of needing additional storage. So the other option that we looked at was adding a tank on top of flat top and running a line from the Victory pipeline to that tank and from that tank to that part of the system by that area. Our estimation is hopefully we're between $6 and $10 million.
So here's flat top out here. Victory goes right past it. So then we have to put a pipe down and hook in to down here somewhere, I guess, or even, this is an 8-inch line here. And this is, from here on down, this is a dead-end line. There's no looping. There's only one source coming down by the hideout here. So there's no looping in that area right now. It's just a dead-end down there.
So the Victory line is clear up and flat top.
That black line is the Victory line.
Mm-hmm.
So when you modeled that, it was 400 standard residential homes.
Right.
Based on, you just mentioned four additional
commercial homes. If we did commercial, it would be more on top of that. But from what he had proposed, basically the majority of the property was still with those 400 lots.
Mm-hmm.
So if they did commercial, they would have to take out some of those residential to make that fit.
Right.
If they wanted it, it would just require that much more infrastructure to make it happen.
It's possible, but it's probably going to be a major project back to the Victory line, essentially.
Yeah.
So, we have a model.
We could share that information as far as
did they
what you need here? From the water model, so you don't have to
share
the
water.
That would help a lot.
So we could share.
That way you can play with it. That's kind of guess.
Yeah, and basically they would allow me to tell them a number,
right?
You know, of what, and of course we consult with you guys on that as well too.
Yeah. So that's the only thing we'd ask is they get before you this give them anything. Let us know what you think.
This is part of that policy revision that you had to look at too for subdivisions. Is that ultimately you if a subdivision is proposed within your district. And I don't know if you've adopted that policy yet or not, but basically there's fees associated to look into that. And
which questions?
We've done a lot of the, so this was the our planning group put together those policies for you.
Yeah. Okay.
And this was basically the WilServ policy that we looked at. So anyways, we've done a lot of that groundwork already, and we can provide you the numbers of what how much flow is available right now or how much capacity is available right now and what it would take to increase that capacity.
That would be, is that what you're looking for, Eric, I guess? That would help you in your...
It would, yeah. Yeah, and like you were saying, it probably would be easier too if we had something that we could play with as well.
Right.
Just to narrow things down.
Yeah, I mean, it's on his dime, so...
Right.
Or whatever it takes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he's obviously got some big aspirations, so he's going to have to play some scenarios.
I think the water is going to be the least of his worries, to be honest.
Right. And you guys are the first ones that come to talk to him. So.
But it's okay. I mean, it's still...
You got to start somewhere. I get that. But the meeting that Dixon, Jim, and I sat in, I think you guys... I know you guys were on it. It sounded like temporary housing to me. And... For temporary housing, to spend that kind of money to get infrastructure there for temporary housing, I hope they can see their way through it. But that's their money. They can do what they want with it, but we'll provide the information that you need to further along.
All right. And I haven't been involved too much with the development of it so far, but I think they've probably heard the same thing, just as far as rumors go, and that's why they're having this preliminary look at it before they take up.
Right.
That makes sense.
So. Yep. So. Okay. Just work with Dixon on that.
I can get in touch with you later on, early next week probably.
Well, maybe work with Jason when that you've got the water model.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Talk to Jason. And
do engineering firms work good together?
Yeah.
Exactly. All right.
Oh, we good. Or Jason Brown will get in.
Jason's not available next week.
Okay,
that's all I had.
Appreciate you guys.
Thanks, Eric. Appreciate you. Okay. On to the minutes.
We're going to, you want to do these separate?
Yeah, we're going to have to do the public hearing separate.
I'll move that we approve the budget hearing minutes on December 8th, 2020.
Okay.
Should be 2022.
Dusty moves we adopt the public hearing, the budget hearing minutes for December 2022. Do we have a second?
Paul seconds.
Okay, Paul seconds. We need to review.
Yeah, we need to change that to 2020.
What does that have, 2023?
21.
Oh, 21.
I feel like I'm that far behind, but I'm going to talk to you soon.
Yeah, is there any corrections anybody else noticed on the budget hearing minutes?
I'm glad you caught it.
What? Has everybody had a chance to review them?
I did this one.
Okay.
It was the low one.
Yeah. So hearing no more corrections, except let's see. We've got the motion, we've got the second, we just need a all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion passes to accept the minutes of the public hearing, budget hearing. Okay, moving on to the regular scheduled minutes. Accept the motion.
I'll move.
Dusty moves. We have a second. Seconded by Dean. I'll give you a minute to review if you haven't already with corrections. I didn't see any. I was reading through them and I got side blinded. Didn't even see what was coming.
I put them on the dashboard. I'm like, I won't forget them if I leave them here, and I brought my wife's car.
I've got the original one because somebody did not want the original, so I can bring the original so we have that as well. But we do need to put the date in. I agree.
Yeah, I left them on my desk, thinking I was pretty smart.
And just an update on that, I guess Paul called the other day, but we haven't reached out. I don't think to you guys. So Wyatt did come in with a new contract. We signed it. He did deliver the $30,000 in escrow to Sunrise. So $40,000 with the provisions of 4 months with the date, and I can't remember the exact date. It was the March.
It was exactly
whatever Dan moved last meeting is what it was.
Yeah, it was 4 months from the last meeting.
April 10th, Dan, is that what you remember?
Somewhere there.
Our last meeting we had was on the 8th, so I think it was April 8th.
April 10th.
Yeah, and I told you. Right.
I think we put it on the contract.
But we changed it to the 10th, I think.
With Wyatt?
I think so, because something to do with the date.
The date was a Saturday.
Yeah, that's what it was. Okay. Okay. So we moved that to the 10th, I believe.
Yeah, and that's Easter, though. Monday. So the banks will be closed.
Banks are not closed on Easter.
They're not?
No.
No special holiday. Okay. Anyway, just an update real quick on that. So the date we need to add in there on the white here for the discussion. And we'll get you that original contract that was signed.
Well, my wife will look through one of the cards.
Okay, any other discussion on the minutes? Dusty moved, Dean seconded. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay, manager report. We're on to you, Dixon.
Okay, let's do your special meeting.
Oh, did we have a special meeting?
Yeah.
Oh.
We had another
one. Oh, we did.
Oh, it's about on getting Kenny.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, did we get included?
Yes.
That's in here?
Yep.
Okay, well, I'll accept the motion to approve the special meeting minutes, December 20th, 2022.
Let me make sure I got the right one. There's the other one. All right. I will move.
Okay, Dusty moves. It's only natural. Can I have a second?
I have a second.
Okay. Dan seconds. Any corrections? Yeah, we need to amend that then. So let's finish this and then we'll go back and amend.
I just seen the $5,000 here. And
I forgot about that. Yeah, let's finish this where we've got a motion and a second.
So on this one,
you're talking about it right here, so 41,000, extra 5,000 from the...
We could
do it as a special meeting. Right here,
yes, we don't need to...
Again, to make sure that it covers it, and it does.
Yeah, because this is where we actually discussed the 5,000. It wasn't in the original meeting. This is actually where it needs to be. Good.
And he did meet the deadline on the insurance money, by the way.
Okay. Any corrections or you good? Okay, hearing none. Except let's see, we've got motion, we've got second. All approve. Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. We do need to discuss a little bit of the old business on this one. As far as the clothing allowance, we do need to come up with a policy on that of some sort.
So I got a little bit on that too.
Okay, we'll let you report on that. Third party consultant and logo on vehicles.
I got on that too.
Okay, very good. Okay, we got those out of the way. The financial report. Motion on the financial report. Or do you guys need a minute to
move?
Usually we move and then review.
Yeah, I have any discussion. I'll move.
Okay, Dusty moves. I have a second.
I'm second.
Dan seconds. I'll give you a minute to look over it.
Facing one spot.
wouldn't be surprised. I don't. I think it could be resolved by now, but I heard like 2 weeks ago. I heard that there was a
talk. My wife's pretty quiet.
there was somebody saying I thought that one was from cattle waters. You know,
nice.
But it could be.
Hopefully, they'll pick them all off of there.
Could it be a problem?
It could be.
And the cod let that one run.
Yeah, environmental land farm too.
Huh?
Environmental land farm and CKC.
Is that it? There's no real. Somebody's using it. That one side, that there? So am I.
We just want to talk to them.
They're running without a contract, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. So what is that? For the benefits.
Go benefit after contract, huh?
Yeah. Let's see, I'll go and put the meter at pump station 1.
Oh, I see.
Which I don't know how that...
We just prorated the tax, so...
They wanted to get
$300 bonus.
Yeah.
So, that pump station is on new land.
Yeah.
They don't even own it. It's the land.
Glad you did that.
So now they're talking to Scott Fenn today, and they're talking about wanting to get telemetry on all the meters.
They usually do that.
They said then there'll be an update on the meters. Because most of them will have the Chrome well.
So what's the extension?
And I talked to Wayland at the tribe, and he said that everything's normal.
Oh, yeah?
Go check.
Well, since when? Did they put some on?
He said he was going to go look at it.
And it hasn't reached down there yet?
I don't know.
Oh.
But he said he was going to go look at it. Make sure
that he's still playing the pipe, though, right?
Yeah.
So, just a quick question on the Weldon, Brad Knight construction. We supplied the pipe, but in his bid sheet, he's got 1,900 feet of DR-11.
What's the line cost on it? Is it part of the cost line?
Is it the welding of the pipe?
It's 38,000. I assume it's the pipe.
We took the pipe to him.
So they charged us the pipe. Because the total amount was 60,000. So we paid almost 60,000 and change.
And it's DR-17 that's...
But if...
That's 1995 to lay it. That's the lay cost.
We don't have a lay cost either way.
So that is just the
$20 to lay it.
Okay. Okay.
And so the lay cost includes the fusion.
Okay. Gotcha. It just said pipe and it didn't... Yeah. All right.
That's usually the price. It used to be the price including pipe.
Right. Well, that's what I thought, 38,000. It's got to be pipe. But that's actually installation.
Things have changed since 20 years ago.
Okay. All right.
$20 is quite a pipe anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now it's expensive.
Okay. Everybody had a chance to go through this? Any questions? That was the only one I had, so.
There's fine print.
It's fine print. Got to wear your glasses.
Focused on.
I know. I hear you. Okay. All in favor of accepting the financial statement as listed? Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none. Motion passes to accept the financial report. Okay, Dixon, we are on to the manager's report.
Okay, the first thing I want to do is talk about that East Duchesne monthly charge. Little background, East Duchesne has their own inflow to the Bridgeland tank, but their operations make it very difficult to turn on their pumps. And so last year they made an arrangement with Clyde through the Victory Pipeline to take over our Lake Borum turnout and trade water to us for the water that he took out of the Bridgman tank. So we're just trading straight across. But the Lake Borum turnout is not adjustable. They have to set it at, it was set at 80 gallons a minute. And he, I think what the maximum he can turn that up is to is about 120 gallons a minute because you have to have a place for that water to go. And if he has a bunch of pressure variations, then it, he gets alarms off of that and it causes all kinds of problems. So we just kept it at about 80 anyway. East Duchesne got far behind and it's starting to be a real nightmare keeping track of how much water there is. So I told him it'd be easier for us just to bill East Duchesne directly rather than to trade with Victory Pipeline. So what we need today is a cost, a price that we're going to charge him for that water. In the past, we were charging $1.35, but our costs have gone up. So through the aqueduct and through our own pipeline, we can get water for $1.16 per thousand. But through the Victory Pipeline, it costs $1.77. So I don't know whether we want it like an average of those two, or
why don't we just do a cost plus? That's the way it always stays, and then I have to revisit it.
Mm-hmm. Cost plus. So what do you want to stake that out then?
Well, we're not going to have a pump, or we need to stipulate that the cost does not include our using our pumps, right?
Yeah. Now,
will they ever need
the other thing is we have to stipulate is if that aqueduct goes down, he's got to pay Victory prices plus,
right.
Cost plus. Because
and that could be part of it. It could be twofold. If they have to use the Victory, it can be this price, right?
So whose line are they going to be utilizing to bring the water to the tank?
Normally, we'd just be using our aqueduct.
You expect that to be the normal?
Over the last 2 years, we could have done that, except for when our line was down. Because our volumes are way down on the amount of water.
So they'd be utilizing our aqueduct, our line coming down, right?
Mm-hmm.
Using the tank that we're partners on. And not have to use a pump unless special circumstances, right?
Yeah, but it's becoming more difficult to even turn our pumps on because both Duchesne City and East Duchesne are selling more frack water and so they're taking more out of the aqueduct, and if we turn on our pumps we're going to put it below the critical pressure level where it causes problems.
And we're not using...
So any increase we usually just take for Victory.
So if we figure out what that
costs... Oh, and one more. So Mayor Rowley saw me at the meeting today, and he said, I forgot to bring... I got a new contract for you guys to look at. Did he talk to you?
I'd seen him, but I didn't talk to him.
Anyway, it looks like it's going to be $75 an anchor foot.
That's what we... I remember bringing
it. Up from what? What is it now?
It's right now, it's $55.
$20?
So if we put the cost plus a certain percent.
Mm-hmm. Did he say the quantity?
It'll be right around 100 gallons a minute.
That's available?
Yeah.
100 gallons a minute?
Yeah. Doesn't sound much.
We're already supplying.
That was like 2,000 acres. Acre feet.
From East Duchesne, right? You're talking two different things here. So 100 gallon a minute to East Duchesne
is
what you're talking. You're talking
Duchesne City.
You're talking Duchesne City contract. We're talking two different things.
How much Duchesne City would give us?
Oh, how much Duchesne City? He said, but I couldn't hear him. I said, well, can you get that to us? Can you email it so I could look at it?
Well, no, I remember like 2,000 acre feet.
That's kind of what's...
What we wanted to dedicate to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but in an old contract I was reading through, it says 2,000 feet take or pay, you know? It's like, no.
One of the previous ones we haven't signed.
Yeah, it wasn't signed.
Well,
we can't do one of those.
No. We'll just have to get in and see what it says and then review it, I guess, as a board. Go from there, but we don't have it tonight to look at, so.
So, the East Duchesne, so I understand it. What conversation? Are they proposing this, or is this something you're proposing?
No, I told them that I had to talk to the board to find out what we were going through, that he will present to his board next month. They had their meeting like day before yesterday or something.
Okay.
So East Duchesne has their own aqueduct pipe coming down. They connect to the tank with their own pumps. But they can't pump.
Because it lowers the pressure too low on the rest of their line when they turn it on.
They need to utilize our aqueduct to fill the tank.
Correct.
Well, I'd say that we put in the victory line for situations like that and charge them the victory charge, and then it's done. But we'll try to do it through the...
That's the cheap water. If we have to pull them hard, we don't want anybody taking some of our cheap water, do we?
That way we don't have to flip-flop and decide, okay, what's the rate going to be for this allotment of water? We have it dedicated. Well, this is what
it
is.
And it helps us pay for our capacity and the...
Yeah. Well, and it's cheap water, right? We want to have 100% access to that any time that we need it.
So you're right. We really don't have cheap water, first off, because...
Cheaper?
Not even cheaper, unless we're using a lot, because we're paying for Victory water capacity whether we use it or not.
Right.
Okay? So even though it costs us less to get it through Duchesne's, we're still paying the capacity that's left over.
Once we exceed it,
the cost goes up another 61 cents per thousand because we're above the contract. He charges us.
That's why we want 100% access to our aqueduct.
Mm-hmm. Yes. We don't want to take away from that.
And so we can just say they pay the victory price. That way we have the flexibility to let them use that or not.
Right. I agree. Do we want to do cost plus?
What do we charge? 7% wheeling? Our 10% wheeling?
Yeah. I think there should be some provision.
If they're utilizing our aqueduct, they're going to have some.
If we're charging for Victory water, there is no wheeling.
I know, but they're going to be utilizing our aqueduct.
There should be a wheeling though, because they are exactly, and we have maintenance on that.
Our aqueduct makes it possible for them to do what they're doing, right?
In combination with Victory, yeah.
Could they do it without our pipeline?
Could they
accomplish their goal without our aqueduct?
It depends on how much we want to sell them out of Victory.
Well, the infrastructure's not there, though, is what you're saying.
I'm trying to understand it. How dependent are they on that our aqueduct?
Well, this last year there was 100%.
Well,
on it because of they was going.
But we were, remember, we were down for a long time.
And they've been paying the Victory price.
Yeah.
That's what I look at. They've been doing it this last year. The $1.77, and I think that we can cover the cost if we do it smart and
watch over. With the Victory, but let them use aqueduct. So we can use that spread.
I'm covering with Victory price, like I'm sending water to XDL at $4.76.
If this flips and they're using majority Victory, though, we're not getting a cent for our O&M, for our system for maintenance.
Well, if there's no impact, I don't see why we want it.
Here's the way I look at it.
But one last thing, just one last thought I want to add to that, what I was thinking, if it becomes where they're using our aqueduct, we're charging them Victory, but then we exceed because fracking, scenarios happen. Right. We exceed, we got 61 cents.
we're going to take the short on that, right?
Right.
Right.
Is the spread difference? Is the spread in that? How much is the spread between Victory and our raw East Duchesne City Water? What's the spread?
61 cents.
61 cents.
So at 61 cents above Victory, if we go above contract.
Yeah, it's a buck 16.
So that spread covers it. That risk. So that covers my concern.
How long would this? As far as the time frame of this contract, what would the period be? How many years or?
As I understand it, they've been working on extending another line down to fill the tank. Isn't that what you've heard, Jim?
I don't know what.
Or did they abandon that or something? I don't know.
Someone's who? I think it's Danny's going over there next. Maybe it's not Reese Duchesne. That's from Duchesne County. I don't know what they're doing.
But Clyde has also toyed with the idea of giving them a connection right there where our connection is, too. So they have a separate connection to the tank, which is... How do you manage a tank with two people feeding? You know, I don't like that at all.
No.
I don't like sharing a tank.
Well, my only concern...
How much they own of that tank?
17%.
Okay.
We could maybe buy them out.
Yeah.
Buy them out, pay for something they didn't pay anything for.
Right, exactly. my only concern with the contract, as far as terms go, we definitely need to include first right of refusal back to that portion or that capacity of that line in case we need that. That would be my only concern with signing something long-term or short-term. So if they're willing to do that we have first right to that capacity back at, I don't know what the notice should be, but if we have some development take place that we need that capacity, we need to have that back.
Well, so I was talking to Jake Woodlander Networks for Oventive, and to Brad Rouser, and they're building a new completion pit over there that's going to hold 100 million gallons.
100 million? That's a big pond.
Yeah, so Finley had a 50 million gallon pond over there and Womack land over there. It's a double that.
How much did the XCL hold up on
the... It's 16 million. On the hill up here, and this one is what, 20 million?
Gosh, that's a big stonefall.
So, my thinking is if they're building that pond, they're going to want to fill it. And I talked to Jake, and he says, yeah, but they want to make it so that it's compliant so they can use production water in there as well.
Yeah, they want to mix it.
So they'll be mixing it with production water.
It'll have to be permitted as a wastewater on the...
If they're bringing it back up to recycle.
So I don't know exactly how much, but see, this last year, they've had a lot of months where they paid us the money with no water use. And XCL has filled in a few of those months, but there were a few months where they paid the whole amount and didn't take any water in. But I don't see that. I can see them just turning on at a lower rate forever on that pond, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So I guess back to the discussion of contract with them.
But the reason I brought that up is because of this, that we may be exceeding our contract with Victory.
Right, right.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And those are things we need to consider.
Because that's when we...
Can make it.
Give him a pat on the back. Yeah, I won't go. Anyway, maybe I should
have one of the white ones down there.
Yeah, that would be big. I think I probably launched that one.
Good chaser.
Because when Newfield was utilizing their full capacity out south, that's when we would see.
And we were buying from East Duchesne at that point.
Yeah.
So would it be out of the norm to give, I don't know, 48, 72-hour notice on this? Is it give them enough time? I mean, do we need something like that? That's strict.
What are they looking? Are they looking for a contract? I heard I mentioned it. Are they looking for any contract or just some?
Just an agreement.
An agreement that that's available. What it'll cost them?
And what it'll cost them, yeah.
Okay.
As I say, if it is available, this is what it costs you.
But we give them notice.
We can't.
No, we're not.
We can't do it at our own detriment.
No, and that's what we need to have in that agreement, is if we need to have that back, we're going to have to give them whatever notice you guys feel that we need to have in there. But if there's a frack or something, then we can make more money off of that, quite a bit more money off that water. We don't want to tie ourselves.
Especially this contract water. I mean, we've contracted this. Commitment's already been made, and that's how we can put it to them. That if,
right.
If Ovid just throws that on into constant use, they're going to pull on the contract.
So what direction do you need, Dixon, to go back to them?
So, as I understand it, our thinking now is that we want a contract, basically, to say that we will sell them water at a cost plus a certain percent, right?
Well, if $1.77 is what the Victory Water is, but we're not going to be just selling the Victory Water.
But if
Victory, the reason I said cost is because that seems to fluctuate, and I don't want to have to revisit this, is say it costs, we can step to the Victory cost, our Victory cost. So if it goes up or goes down, which, you know, up is probably what's going to happen, then it'll go up with it.
Then we don't have to
come back and say, oh, it went up, so we need some more.
But if we exceed Victory capacity and have to pay the premium charge of 61 cents extra, then they'll have to pay that.
They're utilizing water at the time.
And we need to word it as such that it'll be whatever cost our Victory Water is.
Yep. Yeah. Penalty or not. If they put us in the penalty, then...
And they need to know that. It needs to be written in there.
Okay. That's all I need then.
Okay.
I mean, what do you guys think?
Do we need a motion on that? Or... What we need to do is probably get the contract and bring it back, so we can.
So we'll write. I'll tell him the price. Then we'll write up a contract.
Then let's review next meeting.
And then we'll present it to them to sign, and then bring it back to our meeting next month.
Or do we want? No, we want to review before they sign. So
how is it?
Well, can go ahead.
This was an immediate need.
Well, it's the first of the year, and we want to. Start billing them every month for the water use.
Well, I think we need to have eyes on it.
I agree. But can we tell them the price and that's where they'll be and then we'll work out the contract?
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
Because the price will start, but the details of the contract to make sure everybody's happy can come.
I think we probably better do the price by resolution though for now, temporary until we get a contract in place. I think we'd probably better.
Probably.
Okay.
I mean, to keep it clean, you know.
Yeah, I think we better. So, we'll entertain a motion on that.
I'll make the motion to allow usage.
To sell more.
To sell East Duchesne. Water at our Victory cost, and which would include, if the occasion would be the 61 cents extra, if there's overages caused by this connect or this use,
and maybe mention the contract.
And to make sure that the agreement is made between us to make sure it's clear.
Okay. Motion's been made.
So East Duchesne is selling the water to Ovation.
No, we are. We are.
They'll have fracking.
So we're contracted with Ovation. If they meet their contractual amount or exceed it, we're going to need that capacity back that we're going to give.
Otherwise, we're going to pay a penalty.
Yeah.
And so if they're willing to pay that penalty, then they pay that penalty and we don't. If it puts it into that scenario. While they're using it.
So we have a motion on the table by Dusty to sell water to East Duchesne for the Victory cost plus any additional overage fees plus a contract to be brought back to us for review of some sort or whatever you've got written down, Karen.
So essentially it's just
yeah, to authorize the sale of our water at Victory cost, right, which may include, which can include the overage fee if we're pushed into it because of this.
Right. And then a contract to follow.
And then the contract to make sure everybody's on the agreement.
Okay.
Same page. Make sure it's clear.
Do we have a second? Okay, Paul seconds. All in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none. Motion passes unanimously. So we'll have a contract presented back to the board next month for view, and then if we need to tweak anything.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, the next thing is the map, the annexation. So when we did this down here by John Price, he was supposed to, first of all, Johnson Water cannot do annexation.
Right.
It has to be the public. Right. He was supposed to take care of that. He's been dragging his feet. It's not done. He's not annexed in. Well, see, it's circled in pink. All of these areas circled in pink on this map are people who are getting Johnson Water who are not in our district. So we have a lot of those. The map also shows like Haddonville and Mighton. It shows that they are in our district, but when you look up the information at the county, they're not. So the map is wrong in that respect. And there's a couple other places like that where we've got some problems. So we have discussed what we can do to remedy that, and we've come up with an idea that we're just presenting. You can rip it apart or do whatever, but it's up on there. It's the policy of Johnson Water Improvement District that all expansions of the district will require annexation process to be completed before any connections are sold or constructed in the proposed annexation area. And then it's the policy of Johnson Water that all connections that are not inside of the but Johnson Water, and anyway, any connections that aren't in the district will pay a surcharge of 50% more for their water on the base rate and the cost of the water, and except for places where Johnson Water has a contract, like with Old Vintive, and who else do we have a contract with?
Cedarview Montwell,
yeah.
I think we
have
got a contract valid, don't we?
And then Johnson Water will give a grace period of 6 months until August 31st, 2023 for customers to perform the annexation process before the surcharge in number two becomes effective. Just to, and then we will provide them with the information they need to annex into Johnson Water. We'll give them forms and everything. But we can't fill them out. We can't do all the work for them.
Right.
And then if they don't, and it's in, then we just charge them 50% more.
So that's...
That's very similar. It's exactly what Roosevelt does to people who do not live in Roosevelt City.
Out of city residents pay 1.5 times exactly from the out there. So. But they don't have the choice to...
Annex.
Well, they do have the choice to annex. Some of them do, some of them don't. But at least this would be an option for them to annex and get their rate down for county residents that Roosevelt is serving. They don't have that option.
What would that look like? So what do we have, $40 for a three-quarter?
I like it.
Why don't you do that in your hand? It just made it look bad.
Yeah, but when you're mentioning that, I thought this the only way that we're going to get them and flex our muscle, it would be to increase their rate and force their hand, because you are right, they have to be the ones to initiate the annexation. We cannot do it. So that would be a good way to get that cleaned up.
But and here's just a list of places that are not annexed. Tower Road, 6250 South. I wrote that in before the county added in part of it. But the east end is still not annexed, the part where, I guess, the garbage dump used to be or somewhere. That's not an annexed in. 400 west north of 1000 south. Now, that is like no man's land. I don't know whether we can annex that or not, because we've got Roosevelt coming down the west side of the road and Johnson Water going down the east side of the road.
Well, they can... grab Tim Harding. I think they can grab them parcels.
You think? So, I guess we could. But they're listed as Roosevelt in the county records. I don't know what they mean by Roosevelt when they listed that. Is Roosevelt listed as a water district?
Well, when we looked at that, Roosevelt didn't have a water district. But then you found some old boundaries that took a lot of Hancock code.
Yeah, and I looked around. I couldn't find any of those. So apparently they were never recorded.
Okay,
and then Pheasant Meadows, except for Kim Harding's house only. West side of 8000 West, so we got Jim Patrice and Sean Shiner. They both have connections. They're on the west side of 8000. East of Minton, they're not recorded, but most of those are. I mean, they're not on the map, but they are recorded. They just need to be put on the map. As far as, we haven't looked at Uinta County yet. I'm just talking Duchesne County. So I don't know about Uinta County then. Same thing with the southeast end of Independence. That's in Uinta County, so I don't know. And,
so your language on there, you say constructed through, right? So is that going to restrict your connection? Because that goes to those tribal parcels that are... Mm-hmm.
So on tribal land, it's a whole different thing because they're not, we can't annex them into.
And they don't pick that.
Right.
So do we need to disclose that though in the annexation agreement?
So that's kind of like a contract that we have with them, right?
Okay.
So we could add that to where that contract language or on tribal lands, we could just add that in.
Yeah, I hope you're not shooting yourself in the foot with some of that language.
Yeah, I agree. I think we need to put some provision in there through tribal grants or where it's already contracted or something in those places. Because we do have a couple other places. What, Stuart Pike's?
Well, you have.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got, I mean, all this area. But you've got these pipes that come to supply your...
You have to make sure here, too. And that's on federal.
Mm-hmm. On federal land?
Isn't that the
line? All reds. Just below all reds, we've got two connections off of our line, but it's an easy chain, and they pay us for that.
But that down in Tower Road?
Yeah.
It's BLM.
That's BLM right here.
No, that's Moon.
Yeah, that's
where are we at? Moon. We're Pleasant Valley.
Pleasant Valley's down here.
Right here.
Yeah, that's BLM. You're right.
That's probably the point. Sure. I think it's on my own district.
So if we clean up the language a little bit. I agree, Jason.
I was that low before I started.
So Dark Lane. Is there a section of Dark Lane?
Bruce Dark's mother's house and the old homestead are not in Johnson Water District.
Really?
And Stringham's are not in Water District.
How can they have an island? Does it keep going as a swath, or is it just it's an island?
No, that's what it is right here.
I don't understand.
That's what those holes were then in the...
Whole area here. This is Bruce Dart's mom lived there. This is the old homestead right here. He's got a new connection right here. Streams are over here.
So it's not an island. It's on the perimeter.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
So Marines have a house. It's not... Marines own the property, but the name is something else, right?
Mr. Don.
That's not our district.
Okay.
Are they like...
Here is...
What's the name?
Look
like.
So... Because
he's a
clean mall. Yeah, they came the other day. They
get it.
So have the other thing.
So the process on this would basically get this underway and get the language in it that we need and then include the annexation process. We'll have to have public hearings to do this. We'll have to record it at the county, at the state level as well. So it's going to be a process. It's going to cost a little bit of money, I'm sure, for the mail outs and everything. But typically annexations, they pay the application to do that with land use. How are we going to pay for all this as far as Johnson Water for the annexation? Because it does cost money. I mean, I don't know if we're going to get...
What is Roosevelt doing?
They come to us to annex in, and they pay the application fee and everything that is affiliated with it. So what they gain is they become Roosevelt City residents, where these guys would become Johnson Water residents with a lower rate. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know how we want to do that. There's a lot of different scenarios we can do with that, but.
Well, Utah, I just learned, is a you're required to know your taxing.
To know your taxing?
Mm-hmm. And some of the citizens understand where they're at. So I'm just with, maybe I'm shifting gears a little too much on it. But I'm just trying to think notifications and trying to make sure that we don't have any legal issues this way if we start up in raids. Obviously, we have to have a public hearing to do this. But it is, Utah is, if I understand it right, Utah is, it is the citizen's responsibility to understand his taxes. His tax. So that would mean that they're, I'm just trying to think if there's any legal ramifications of surprising people here.
Well, so if we find out what it will cost, now Roosevelt charges fees for internal fees, right? It's not necessarily affiliated with what the county or state will charge, administrative fees. So if we find out what the state would charge to do this with the county, I think Mike Hyde will probably have to do something with this as well, I assume. He'll have to send out a letter. Where it's in unincorporated Duchesne County right now. So if we find out what the fees are, we can include that in the annexation letters to these individuals stating, hey, this is where we're at. We're going to raise rates 1.5 times. If you want to annex in, this is what the cost is going to be to annex in. Just so we're prepared for a mail out that they know what all the costs are going to be before.
Karen, what kind of, are you going to be able to... That's why I was thinking that there, because how are you going to know exactly everybody who's outside and inside without going through a...
So we've been going through
it. I mean, are you going through it, but are you confident you got everybody? I'm just wondering
how to... Their claim system, their claim base, with their taxes on their... So...
Yeah, I went through... Everyone we have who has a connection who was not on our map and listed them. And then I accidentally found people who were on our map who were not in a district.
See, and then we're going to go through on our collector and go to every single one, even if they're in the middle of the map. And we're going to have them put a spot on there that says they are an incorporated. Yes. So that everyone is known.
Well, that's why I'm just trying to, this is more than 2 undertakings that we're trying to do. One, get our everything established and cleaned up, and then some annexation.
Right.
Yeah, and so if we have a vote, you know, this way it's going to be a lot cleaner.
This year.
Yeah.
Coming. So, I guess what I'm looking through the logistics of this, if we send a letter to everybody and then mail it with the bill saying this, are we putting the onus on them, or are we going to say, you're not in or you're not in? That's why I brought that up.
I think we need to disclose, and probably just send it to the ones that aren't in. We don't need to send it out to everybody. Yeah. Send it to the ones that aren't in and say, hey, we've found that you're not annexed into our system, into Johnson Waters District. Here's the options.
Here's the policy.
Yeah, here's the policy.
We'll have to do a public hearing.
Yes, we will. We'll definitely have to do a public hearing.
Yes.
For sure. But before we do the public hearing, we need to get everything lined out. This is what the cost is going to be.
But we can send out the letter prior, can't we? And then, say we set the deadline of August. That was just a filler, you know. But we can put whatever date we want. Can we just send out the letter and have them annexed? But before, so then when August is coming, there's people not doing it, then we hold the public hearing.
No, I think we need to do the public hearing with the rate increase. This is where it's going to be. This is the implementation date. Here's our public hearing prior to, and if they want to annex in before that, they can. But here's the deadline with the amount.
I think you'll have people that are just not going to do it.
Yeah, and they'll get charged the 1.5 times.
Yeah, I think it's inedible anyway.
Yeah, but we do have to do the public hearing first.
And do we want to do the 1.5? We want to do 100% more.
I think 1.5 is reasonable.
It's different. I mean, that's $60, $20. I mean, that's things a little bit. I mean, because we don't tax. I mean, so they're not weighing. They're like, I guess they have the option to tax.
Well, the downside to it is what? Why would they not annex in?
Or we could say, we might want to say part of this is that it's 50%, or of course the tax is not going to be more than $20. I mean, for a resident. I'm just saying whatever is greater, because we wouldn't want to limit it.
Yeah, it's...
We don't want to give them have a discount, but I guess we can always revisit if that ever comes. I hope it doesn't come to
well,
tax that much.
So what we...
Well, it could if we...
What if we grouped them and said, this is the area you are in?
Yeah.
Because a lot of them have neighbors who are in the same, like Pheasant Meadows, for example. Pheasant Meadows needs to annex in. You know, get together with your neighbors, fill out the thing, and get it done.
Right. Well, so that's where Mike Hyde comes into play. Now the state statute, they just barely changed this a couple months ago. The counties have to send out a letter. We have to send a letter of intent to Mike. Mike sends out a letter to those residents that it's going to affect. Just for that reason. If anybody wants to jump on board with this annexation, your neighbors or whatever, here's the form to fill out. And then we have our public hearing. We advertise for that. So Mike's going to have to be involved in that, I'm sure.
On the letter, maybe it'd be kind of to prevent a lot of phone calls and headaches and maybe angry people to give them some, you know, this is where you go.
Yeah, there's not that.
Some guidance.
Yeah, that's what I was doing. So we'd have all the forms they need to fill out and everything for them.
Yeah, I just think that would, because I think you could save some irate people something now.
So if we reach out to them first before we do our public hearing and everything, rate increases, and say, hey, we've noticed you're not annexed in. We're looking at maybe doing something in the future as far as non-annexed areas, as far as rates go. Would you be interested in? And have the documentation for them.
So this annexation gets them into the district with the tax,
right?
No, which we don't do.
We don't implement a tax rate.
But it would be in Johnson's boundary, where right now they're serviced by Johnson without
being in
Johnson.
They would be on the voter rolls.
Right. That's why I brought up the voting, because only people who are listed as Johnson Water district members get a vote. And if they're not annexed, they don't get a vote.
I don't think that's going to be a factor for them. I think it's more...
Well, some people said they didn't get a ballot.
Oh, gotcha. And maybe that would be something to list on the list of benefits, though. Well, we've got some homework to do.
So we'll work on it a little bit more.
Okay.
I think it's good practice.
Does anybody see anything that they don't like on the... Scroll back up a little, Dixon. As far as the policy, would you like to see something different? Do you like the shell of it? Is it workable?
I thought it looked like it put together well.
I like the 1.5 times, I think, or the 50%. I think that's appropriate. But the language Jason mentioned, I think, to the sensitive areas in our district, we need to maybe... adjust some of that. But okay.
All right. Let me move on here to clothing allowance. So we weren't really sure what you wanted. Did you want, because I wasn't at the meeting and Jim said you spoke about logos on the clothing and stuff. So was this intended to be a uniform that we wear or just to have a logo on? Is it required clothing?
So I think that the point of this, if you're representing Johnson Water, and Johnson Water's, thanks Jason, thanks Dave, if Johnson Water is supplying a stipend for that clothing, that it needs to have a logo on it, stating that you're representing, so like a shirt or something with a logo on it.
So here's the difference.
A jacket or something, Johnson Water, whatever.
If you have a uniform, if you call it a uniform, and it has a logo, federal law says you are mandated to wear it at work every day, and you are not to wear it anywhere else, just to and from work and at work.
So this is not a uniform.
Okay.
This is work clothing.
So then clothing allowance is just like... It's just like, what was it, $350? Is that what you just said?
Yeah, that's what it is.
So it's just like putting $350 in our paycheck. It's taxable income. And
This is reimbursable PPE.
Yeah, this is not going to be a taxable income.
Only certain things are allowed as PPE.
Cotton right. Shirts.
Safety shirts, or not safety it, shoes.
Safety it, shoes.
It's listed right. In the...
And this $350 would go towards your safety shoes. This PPE would be cotton work shirts, whatever.
So I actually researched it just to make sure, and it says that it's like PPE is only a hard hat, safety glasses, ear protection.
PPE is anything the company deems as necessary. So if we say that a cotton shirt is required because of cold, then we don't want to get those details, but PPE is not, it's subject to your own policies, is what I'm trying to say. OSHA has requirements on certain things like you're saying. So we can layer on to that. Like impact gloves. You're probably not going to see that
just regular gloves, they classify as PPE according to the
company will require impacts.
So,
I've seen wool socks as a part of PPE, and I don't, and it's just because it's cold, but it can be no less than what you're reading, but it can be on top of, so you can require additional PPE.
But if you require it, then it becomes a uniform, right?
It becomes no PPE, unless your uniform. A uniform, and I could be wrong, but a uniform is not PPE. Uniform's a uniform. But you can call it whatever you want.
Yeah, I just want to clarify so we know.
I think the intent was to give you a stipend to.
So, for boots. And for a logoed shirt
right.
And cap, maybe.
Yeah. Yep. You got
okay.
It.
Yep. Or pants.
Or pants. Karen will have to keep a separate line item for each employee. This is what you get at the beginning of the year, and
coveralls.
That pool. Once that $350 is gone for that employee, you have to wait till the next.
I think this was a this. Okay. Dean, you're the one who made this motion.
Pardon?
You're the one who made this motion. So correct me if I misunderstand what your intent was.
Well, what
PPE was separate.
So this is
for we're not requiring a hard equipment hat as part of the $350. We're not requiring gloves as part of the $350, right? Okay.
No,
that's what I understood.
The idea was not necessarily.
Well, I don't want to tie it to PPE
protection equipment, but more or less.
Identification on people's property is a big thing.
Yeah, and that's what the intent. Hats, Johnson Water hat, a shirt, whatever, that $350. Boots, it's a clothing allowance. It doesn't need to get in the weeds as far as hard hats, because the company needs to provide the PPE for
that's
you.
That's what I said. I don't want to get into the PPE.
If you need to get separate,
from what you're telling.
If you want to get some money. If you want to get some muck boots for winter, that's part of this stipend. But as far as the gloves and the hard hat, that's...
Well, yeah, but on top of this was that, Dean made the comment that, the guys, they'll ruin a pair of pants, or
right.
they'll get crap, glue on their shirts.
Well,
where it helps absorb that cost.
Right.
Where I got this idea from was in talking to Jim when we was doing the hiring for the employee. Jim made a statement, I wish we had a... the clothing allowance. So, that's a good idea. Because he said, you get, you get something on your shirt,
or in a hole.
To help stop in that.
Where you said Dixon, you can't wear it out. I guess that's probably, it's there. But how many companies and that around here?
They hand out logoed stuff to different people to wear. I went to training yesterday. They're handing out Dominion hats. They're handing out Chevron hats. It's like a status symbol.
Yeah.
Well, don't give your $350 stipend to away in half. I'd keep them. But that's the intent, I believe.
Yeah. Well, that's what I understood, too. So, I mean, that's what I said yes to, was it's not to be paying in lieu of to pay for your PP. This is to help offset those situations that you get blue or chlorine on your pants. And
I think
or you rip them when you try to...
First, the idea of maybe identifying them as
young
water employees, but yet you have a...
Well, for example...
Allowance to buy that clothing.
And not just the guys in the field. Karen, for example, she's the face of Johnson Water. She's got a nice Johnson Water shirt. You know, that's what her 350 will go. It won't go to boots. It'll go to other things. But, or
so,
whatever.
She might like boots.
All I'm saying is, according to the IRS, if it's not a uniform and it's not PPE...
It's budgeted, though. We're budgeting this as an item, a non-taxable item. This is part of your operational budget, and it's not going to be taxable. We do not tax, as a government entity, Roosevelt City does not tax for our clothing stipends. So I don't know why Johnson Water would.
And just know what the IRS is saying.
I'll put that away.
Well, I think there's this, I mean, I... It's like on a pickup truck.
Yeah, it's the same thing, exactly. So that's what, yeah.
Right. It just depends on
how. So I looked that up too, and if me driving that pickup truck is a taxable expense.
Yeah.
No,
even
it's not.
With the logo.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
It's not because you're on call.
Let me read you from the IRS.
Even on call, you're
pickup paying? Truck. Pickup truck. This is IRS publication 15B.
You gotta start digging. Stop digging that crap up.
A pickup truck.
Yep. You're not doing yourself any favors.
I know, but are you okay?
I'm curious. I'm not agreeing with this, even if IRS says it.
A pickup truck with a loaded gross vehicle weight of 14,000 pounds or less is a qualified non-personal use vehicle if it has been specifically modified, so it isn't likely to be used more than minimally for personal purposes. For example, a pickup truck qualifies if it is clearly marked with permanently affixed decals, one, special painting, or other advertising associated with your trade, business, or function, and meets either of the following requirements. First requirement, it is equipped with at least one of the following items: a hydraulic liftgate, permanent tanks or drums, permanent sideboards or panels that materially raise the level of the sides of the truck bed, or other heavy equipment such as an electric generator, welder, boom, or crane used to tow automobiles or other vehicles. Or number two, is used primarily to transport a particular type of load, like other than on the highways, it says here. So it's like timbering, drilling, farming.
You're talking commercial here.
Yes, you are.
You're in
no,
commercial.
But they're including government in here. So let me read you the example that they give you here.
Okay, well, let me, I'll save the argument. Say Utah violating federal law, then, because I...
County is.
Yeah,
because everybody is, then.
Yeah, the state of Utah is, because I got a Volvo truck, I drive a home.
We went through
I'm
this
not taxed,
same list some 6 years ago. And they went through with fine-tooth comb at Roosevelt City. We had to keep track on a paper of how many days that you, and they were going through the whole process, and then they chucked it out. They said, no,
so
we're not doing it.
So when I worked for GE, I got taxed for driving the home.
Okay, here's the example. A town-owned pickup truck is marked with the town name. It is not police, fire, or public safety vehicle or other qualified non-personal use vehicle. The employee is usually allowed... to take the vehicle home because he is on call. The vehicle is not qualified non-personal use vehicle, thus the commuting is a non-cash taxable fringe benefit. And then they give another example of a guy who works in a town. It's got the town seal on the door, and they tell him they want him to take the truck home because of, in case of emergencies, still a taxable benefit.
Same Utah violating
then. Same Utah truck is over 14,000 pounds.
So he's okay.
He's okay.
It's a half ton. Well,
so I don't really care. I just want you guys
so
to
you
know.
Want to, you want to tax then?
No, no. No, I don't want to pay any more taxes.
Well,
state of Utah, I'll trust them that they know what they're doing. I guess we're government. We're a state subdivision, right?
Are you sure they're not adding it to yours?
100%.
And mine neither.
I checked.
Well, are you driving what?
A car.
A car.
Nixon, I checked because I was getting taxed for the same exact truck from General Electric. But I didn't. I wasn't.
At any rate.
But yeah, State of Utah, I guess. We're a political subdivision of the State of Utah, right?
I can't believe that companies like Moon Lake, Strata, and all these vehicles out here, that they're put taxing those drivers for those trucks that they take home. They're not doing that.
The only place I've seen it is General Electric, which you can imagine.
So what do you think those 87,000 new IRS agents are going to be looking
for? I don't know. Let's wait until I guess we adjust the order.
It's going to be looking at Jim's
But as far as the logo goes, as far as the logo goes for Johnson Water, we already have a logo. I think we just need to decide how big is the one we've got.
I already ordered them.
Oh, very good.
And Jason is deciding on the size.
Jason
Ross.
Well, they need to be big enough.
I told him I want to see him at 50 feet. That's what the DOT was.
There you go.
And he goes, yeah, I'll give you whatever everybody else is doing.
You've ordered clothing?
I've ordered clothing. I just got them for the three trucks.
On the side door.
Yep.
Last week we...
Oh, for the trucks.
Yeah.
The employee is not responsible for the cost of the embroidery, right?
No. The embroidery is not going to come out of that $350 stipend. So that will be just... So the $350, and Karen, you guys are going to have to figure out how to manage that, bring the receipts or whatever, so she can keep track of the line item for each employee, how much you've got left. That was the intent.
Okay.
So
I help identify you if you go onto property, right at the bar.
Well, we go to conferences. You guys go to conferences, get a couple of nice shirts. Karen, you know, that's what it's for, to represent Johnson Water, and so you guys don't have to supply clothing in the trenches as well as the work.
All right. So, Jim, you want to talk to him about the website?
Yeah. So I had a website bunch reach out to us this last week.
Just real quick, Bill, before we move on, Dixon, maybe just revise the clothing under those conditions and bring it back next month.
$350 in Johnson Water pays for the embroidery, screen printing or
but
whatever.
They need to have an embroider on it, I think, so. Okay. Sorry, Jim.
That, and we thought, you know, at first I was like not worried or really interested in this thing. We all sat down, the four of us, and watched their presentation. And we are out of ADA compliance. Is that what it is?
With our building?
No, with our website.
Oh.
Because you have to have it for the deaf and blind. And they do all this. We can put so much more on this website because there's a lot more help with it, a lot more support. And there was just some neat features in it. And I think we can make a better website with it and be more transparent. It's got a gauge on it that tells you when you're in compliance, so you can check it. And it'll tell you if you're in compliance or if there's something out. We can have minutes, agendas, everything, and it's unlimited data on it, which that we can't even upload on ours half the time. And then ours is actually pretty costly for what we're getting just through GoDaddy, and they've been horrible because they'll just hit my car.
I hate GoDaddy.
Yeah, and then we're going to get rid of them. We'll keep our domain name, move it into there, but it's going to cost us $200 a month for the new website. But we're spending, it'll be about $1,000 a year more for the new one. But we'll be in compliance, it'll help us,
okay.
And it'll be a lot better, I think.
Okay.
Most of the websites, that must be a reason why you're popping up. They have a little accessibility option. You can go back to the middle. I've stumbled into that for some reason many times, but
this one, even the customers can get in, chime in, and give us reports on if they're seeing stuff. We can put
what we're doing out just as quick pop-ups for stuff and have an email out if they want to sign up for the email so we can email whoever's on it. And
for water leaks or something, the outages.
And another thing we wanted to do is make a page to where if someone wants to come in and be on the agenda, we say you get on the website, there's a page there, and then they're in there and they have their intent on the website and stays there so that we're not just third or fourth hand going, Karen, so-and-so said that so-and-so wants to get on the agenda for this next meeting. And then they don't show up, or so we're thinking it would be a good route to go. Is that something you guys would be interested in?
I think so. What are your thoughts?
Financially, that's not an issue.
It's a need.
Being asked that, I think.
Did they say? Maybe I'm remembering wrong, but. They made it easy to transfer stuff from the website to like Facebook. And
yes.
Perfect. They work straight with
the
district.
What was the name of the company?
What was the name of that company?
That pronounced the letter.
Well, he's looking at that real quick, Dixon. Is this
so I put up.
Pull that away from me.
Two things. This is with Johnson Water is going to do hookups. Then we don't do boring the roadways or road crossings. That has to be paid for by the customer.
Right.
Johnson Water does not pay for work permits on the side of the road. Like if you have to do something on Highway 40 or Highway 87, you got to get a permit from the state.
Are you talking about encroachment permits and stuff like that? That's right.
Yeah. And if it's crossing somebody's property to somebody's meter, then they have to record an easement before we will install it. And on any, so basically if we have to do it, there's a minimum 3-hour charge. Mm-hmm. That's the minimum. And our basic rate is the $150 an hour.
Okay.
And if we need to hydrovac, then it's another $150 an hour. Plus the current cost of materials, plus the new connection and meter installation fees. So that's the one option. The next one was, these are all numbers of contractors who we could just list, we could hand to people to hire to do the connections. And then we just do the inspections and the actual tapping. And we have a fee to do that. So we came up with all of these guys are active right now. And then there's the list of the fees that we charge. The impact fee, the meter fee. Right now our meters and the radio cost $316. They would put down a $1,500 security deposit. After it's inspected and there's no damage to our system, that's refundable. The on-site visit fee and the inspection and the tapping fee, anyway, it comes to the total of this, and then you subtract out the security deposit when it goes back, and then it shows a list of the things. But anyway, so do we want to give them both options, or do we want to pick?
I think we talked about having an option, right? We would set our fees. And then have an option if they wanted to do it, or have somebody do it. Is that what you guys?
Yeah, it was going to be the hybrid of them both to be able to say, you know, we may be available. This is our fee. You can also do it yourself. Mm-hmm. Here's how that works.
Mm-hmm. So do those fees. So do we need to basically have? We need to basically probably put that on paper and.
Well, it'd have to be. It has to go on part of that public hearing.
Yeah, because it's going to be a financial.
It would increase the cost of the connection, right?
So probably the next step would be to actually get it in some sort of a policy form proposal, and then we can review. I think that looks good. I think that's what we were after, right? Everything there.
Mm-hmm.
And then
can
we'll have
go
to
go back a page.
And then do it with an application?
Yes.
One more.
With the application, with the policy application, we have our public hearing approve it.
I would clean up, because you got backhoe, is that with operator?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I mean, that's expensive. Yeah. Backhoe is not.
And hydrovac.
We wanted to make it expensive.
What, to specify, right? With operator?
I can, we can add that.
Yeah. I think it looks good though.
I think. I mean, I guess that I was wondering if it did or not. I don't know if we have it, but because if it didn't have it, you'd want to put another line in. Do we have a minimum? Minimum three.
That question is a little bit unrelated, I guess, to this, but as it comes back to that with Brad Knight, and I think, do we have a, we ought to have a list of items that, so that we don't come in and end up, we thought somebody was going to pay for this and we thought somebody was going to pay for that.
Well, yeah. I would give you clarification. We have that. That's why I had that understanding, is because we developers are to bring it to them. And the only reason that we were being a part of it is because we were going to take it to the edge of property. That's what I, where my understanding came from, whether it was put out or not, and that's what was going through my head, even though it didn't get on paper or whatever, is because of that very thing, as we say, contractors are responsible, developers are responsible to bring that infrastructure to their, just like Wyatt's going to do, right?
Anyway, just so we got a checklist that says, it's, so, it's coming this far, it's going to cost this much.
So we've been thinking about that a lot, and I've started working on a policy that any developer has to come, number one, bring their plans to us so we know what their plans are. It's like we were talking about this over the 400 houses over there. It's like, you know, we can't make a decision on four. We can't do anything with that until we got some plans. The other thing is, make them pay an application fee, you know, so we don't work for free. We spent 2 days. We went to meetings to Duchesne and everything. They haven't paid us a penny. It's like, if you want us to work on this, then you're going to have to pay an application fee of $1,500 or $1,000 or whatever.
It needs to be structured, right? If it's going to be one house, two houses, subdivision, minor subdivision, development, and tier.
And so, and then we get their plans and review them before the meeting, so we have recommendations on what we're going to do. And the second part of this is for board member meetings, is that we need to start sending you guys out packets like a week ahead with all the information showing those kind of things. And like on these proposed policy things, sending you a copy of the proposed policy so you can read it over and go through it and have an understanding of it before you get to the board meeting. And then we'll send we'll send the copy of the plans of some proposed development to you so you can look at it. What our proposed solution to providing service would be, or what would be required to provide that service, so that you guys come to the meeting and know what's going on before you get here. No surprises once you arrive.
So we're a legislative body here. We make legislative decisions off of recommendation from staff. So if those recommendations come from staff prior to the meeting, after the pre-development meeting, makes our job a lot easier.
We have a policy that states at that, right? We have a policy that they're to provide drawings. And
right.
So it's already in place, yeah? Put more detail on it.
Yeah, I think we need to put a fee on it too. So when we hold a public hearing, we add a fee to things like that.
That's one thing we don't have, and I totally agree. And it should be in place. Any application that comes in, especially subdivisions, because it does take a lot of staff's time, it needs to be a fee.
Well, that's kind of why I kind of looked that little short with Eric here and said, well, you know,
right.
Come on, we can't do these open-ended questions with us because we can't, you know, guess what I want. I know what you want. You know, it just drives me nuts when they come and do this. I hate it because
It's a waste of time.
They don't want to spend, well, the thing is, they don't want to spend the money unless, you know, unless they know that we can service them. Well, I get that. Well, we don't want to spend the money unless we know you're actually serious. So that's where the application fee will come in.
Right, right. Anyway, along that line, you know, if there's just something, because my thoughts was is Brad was going to pay to where he took off, and then we were going to extend it all up to the end of his property. But that wasn't, is that kind of what you were
thinking? That's exactly what I was thinking. It was based on our understanding on how we handle development, and is that the contract.
So anyway,
okay, so you, that's the way I thought it should be, and I was kind of surprised that you guys proposed to say Johnson Water's going to put this in. I was thinking, well, why are we doing that? You know?
Yeah, yeah, it goes against what our established practices have been. But that's why I said, what if it didn't come out, if it came out that we were going to do that, then
we can't go backwards and charge him. If we weren't clear, but you're right, it should have been. It definitely should have been.
I swear I still remember it that way, but it wasn't clarified to the point that it was recorded that way.
Well, if we had something down, then it'd be clarified.
Exactly.
Yeah. Costly mistake moving forward. We're definitely going to have to clean that one up.
How far is that? What is? I don't know.
So, no, I think you're on the right lines, though. I think, like Dusty said, just maybe fine-tune what we already have in place. Screen them before they come to the meeting. You guys can do a lot of the managerial before it hits us.
And you wouldn't even have to just put it back on them.
Right. But the fees.
We can't do nothing.
The fees, I agree with. I think that's something we need to look at. So as far as applications go.
Is this including the... When it's approved...
It takes time.
This would include...
Proves their service.
How would they tie up, you know, the time frames or how they would tie up that type of capacity. That would include that consideration as well.
Just to be clear, though, inquiries, that's part of the job, right? If they want to inquire, don't make them fill out an application. But if they want to actually sit down and go over their plans and start the process, that's where the application... But they inquire, hey, you guys have water in this area? Well, you got to fill out an application first. No, I don't think that's where we need to go with this.
No, but I don't want our guys doing their engineering.
No, but not to the point of a 400. I agree.
Yeah, we've been here where we've engineered somebody's stuff for them.
Right.
And I don't think our guys, for one, should do that, or we shouldn't as a board either.
I agree.
So that's what those inquiries end up being. So you just need to make sure you keep putting it back on and say, you need to provide me with more details so I can answer your question.
Yeah.
Okay.
So one more thing. I don't know how we do this. I've been reading other districts' policies. You know, that's where I've been coming up with different things. And it's like, I think I mentioned this once before, when it comes time to replace a meter because it's worn out, other districts charge the customer for the new meter. But we just replace it.
That is common, what you're saying?
It's common that they charge the customer for the new meter when it's broken or it's worn out. Not reading correctly.
Or we update to a radio.
So, or we update radios, right? So, and we've had people, guys that go south for the winter, snowbirds, they kind of say, okay, come turn off my water. And then we go turn it off. And it doesn't shut off. It's like there's something wrong with it, you know. We did Deanne Brighton's. How much did that cost us, Jim? $1,500 to repair that? A 1-inch meter?
Close to 1,000.
It's like...
We're not getting our money back out of it.
And they're sending it off.
Especially when she'll be off for 6 months. On for 6 months and $1,000.
Well, that goes back to I'm pretty adamant that if you're tied to our line, you owe a monthly stipend to have that access, whether you take it or not. You have that option.
Can we schedule a public hearing and then put in certain, like the proposed fee changes, and have that?
We need to.
Because we're losing money on every single connection.
Have we agreed? Have we agreed on that yet? Though we haven't.
We haven't nutted it down.
No, I know, but what I'm saying is, if we propose a public hearing down the road, we can go through the fee schedule and pick some fees that we want to impose.
So a modified fee schedule public hearing.
Yes.
And we can probably pile on to the annexation one.
Yeah. Yep.
So does the customer, so do I own from the line through the meter on, or do
you
I
pay
own
for, you from pay for the meter and Johnson Water owns the meter.
Owns the meter. That's right. You know, it's just, you know, maybe we need to charge more or something for it originally or something, but if you own the meter and the meter goes bad, then you replace the meter. If I own the meter and the meter goes bad, then I replace the meter.
Right. So that's two ways to look at it. Either we charge them or we increase our operating budget to replace everybody's meter every 10 years or something like that. You know.
So I'll tell you what Moon Lake told me about the transformer. So Questar tied on to my transformer so I can run cathodic protection.
Really?
And then I'm like, oh, I want to drop a cattle or a, you know, a livestock box so I can do my mics and plugins and stuff. And you know, I only have to upgrade your transformer and it may cost you money. And I said, well, you tied on and take my capacity of my transformer. And I said, we paid for that transformer. And he's like, yeah, but you don't own it. I said, we'll make them pay for it, and it's not how it works. He just told me, he said, it's not, if you want more capacity on it, and if you, there's not enough room, you got to pay to upgrade that.
Wow.
And I let somebody else tie on your
meter. Yeah, without even inquiring.
That'd be like somebody tying on to your meter, having a second sub-connection, and then saying, you got to upsize your line.
Yeah,
he said, you got enough capacity.
Basically, he said, quit your line. He said, down in Mighton, you got a four corners lot. The first person to buy that, has that, we're tying all four of those people onto that.
You have to give them an easement, too, for the pole and the...
No, they use my pole.
Yeah, but you... Now, if they land a pole in your place or put a guy wire in there, they require an easement.
All they did was run a wire to my transformer and back. That's all they did. They didn't put no structures.
That's a tough one because, you know, if I'm messing around and damage the meter, then I should pay for it. If the meter wears out and you own the meter, then you should replace the meter to tell me what I'm getting for water.
Right. Maybe something we need to review a little bit more. But
that makes sense.
But see, on the initial thing, we charge them for the meter. On a brand new connection, we charge them the cost of the meter.
Upfront.
Okay. But we tell them, it's our meter. Okay.
So it's your meter and it goes bad, you fix it.
Well,
yeah,
is that right?
But if we need to raise our
right.
operating
we
costs,
need to, we can't that lose money. You know, that's a given. I understand that. It's just,
I think the thing to look at potentially would be, so are we on a 10-year cycle mechanically there? Plan on a 10-year cycle. What would it cost to replace that thing in 10 years? We may need to bump it up, our rates or something to put in to account for that. Potentially. Is that what I'm hearing? Or put it on the customer. Because that could get sticky.
Well, especially now.
And I'm more worried about the people who are on a fixed income. If you're going to slap them with $1,000, and how do you, you're going to have to shut their water off to get their money out of them.
Well, and them are the hard ones because they didn't use all that much
right,
water
right.
to begin with. But something went bad because of it. So
it's a tough one. I personally would rather see increasing and putting it away and planning for a replacement plan rather than dumping it on the customer to just replace. But that's my personal opinion.
Is there a way that the company overall can set, okay, you're paying $40 a month or something. Is there some way that a dollar of that or whatever to go into a fund.
That's what we're saying about the operating expense.
I see.
But so increasing that base rate to take care of replacement every 10 years on average. Some of them don't need to be replaced after 10 years. They've only had 100,000 gallons go through them or something, you know? Unless we change our operating, you know, our radios or something.
And we've done that recently. Maybe that's something you can play with as far as numbers go. Give us an idea of what that cost to be, just an average of usage.
You know, maybe it needs to go up $5 or something.
But it's hard because of inflation. So we set a rate right now, cost $319 or something dollars, whatever it was, for a water meter. And so we do it so when it needs to be replaced in 10 years on an average, that we have the $319. Only in 10 years from now, it's not $319, it's $711, you know.
It's better than nothing, and I think we could maybe potentially plan on a percentage increase of what you think it's going to be. It's better than nothing, right?
Well, those meters that you're not going to have to replace are going to pay for the ones
right.
that you do.
Well, I think the dormant ones that would pay for
I think that
the ones that are sitting should help pay for the ones that are wearing out.
And we could do that. We could have, if we have this dormant policy that you're still paying, we could have that money go to that account.
They have to keep paying that base. I just don't. I mean, that's the. They sign on to be a member of Johnson Water. That gives them access and opportunity to water.
I think
maintain
the system.
I think that's a good proactive approach, though. Thinking of that and maybe. Just come up with something, and I think it's a good idea on the dormant meters. If we got to do something with those, but you're on a good track. Better than reactive. If we're trying to be proactive on that. So.
Okay, I think that's about. Let me double check the list. Make sure.
I've got the project.
I'm not done yet, Paulo. Happens
while we
retire.
Okay, so we've got
to get you close to the ground.
Yeah. It's basically something we've got to take home.
Low riders over there.
We have to take this home.
My question would be, if anybody read them, then I put them in your email.
Oh.
If they didn't.
I have one more thing. So everybody bring your books today.
Yep.
I was lucky to get out of the house.
I didn't get mine either.
I was so proud of myself. I brought mine
to the house to get up to here.
I want to keep them. I want to add more to them.
Can I put my name
so,
in?
Okay, I will drop mine off.
Okay.
I'll do the same.
So I want to give copies of the contracts that we have with Ovintiv, with Victory Pipeline, with who else we have contracts with? Anyway, we've got two contracts in there. I just want you to have every bit of information that we have available so you can, if you have a question, you can look in that book and find the answer.
So what we're passing around here is, I'll let Karen explain this one. I'm not sure yet.
The fraud risk assessment, this policies and stuff that's mandatory that we do every year.
Do you want one of these? Just fine. One more back here.
So, I don't know. Did anybody look at them, the ones I sent you on the email? Did anybody have time to...
I didn't get this, I don't think.
Did you have anything in your...
Did it go in the...
Did it
go in spam again? I don't think I got it there.
I sent them Monday.
I bet it went to my spam.
I don't think so.
Oh, I didn't look at it. Is this yours?
Okay. Probably like a year had it in my shop.
I have it as an unread. Yes, I did get it, but I haven't read it yet. It's unread.
Okay, well, that packet that's going around to you right now is everything that was on the email.
This.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So if we take it
so right. If you will do me a favor, take it home, look it through it, and if you see any changes that need to be done, let me know. So like on the policy, let's just do policy, purchasing policy. So if you want to change any of the amounts to a different amount, if it's good the way it is, then I'll just make the changes on the chairman vice
and fix that, and then we can just sign it and put it in our book.
So where is purchasing policy?
It's on the one very last one.
It's the last two pages.
Okay.
Put that on there. Majority of these are already we approved last year. They just need to be updated and signed.
Is this the whole thing from last year? Did we review all every one of these?
With these here, you did. And there's probably some more. Except for I came across the board member travel policy.
Mm-hmm.
That might be something you guys want to look at and put it into place.
Okay.
Because that's from the special district. Utah Association of Special Districts.
Okay.
That's where that one comes from.
We didn't have that one before?
No.
Okay.
I just came across it the other day when I was looking on there.
Okay. So bring that one home, read it, and we're good to bring it back with us the next time.
Yeah, so we can, because I don't want to wait until June or December of next year to get these done, because
right.
They need to be uploaded to the,
okay.
The website saying that we've done them.
Okay, we can handle that. Let's touch on our lucky Gulch Crossing, I guess. Is there any update on that? Kim was awarded the bid. Ken was awarded the bid. Jim, do you have anything on that?
He got sick. He's been ill. Now he's going to Panama. And then when he gets back, he'll jump on it.
Okay.
So first of February, I think he should see some dirt work.
Okay, perfect.
That's more excuse.
Right.
Panama.
And just FYI, we covered it.
That canal first.
Yeah. We did cover it in our special meeting, but we did agree to pass that extra $5,000 on, or the developer agreed to pay that.
The extra $5,000.
Yeah, the extra $5,000.
They got tacked on to the...
Yeah.
And the total purchase.
And that was included in the contract that he signed, so
okay.
There will be no extra cost to Johnson Water.
Essentially, since I forgot the stupid thing, I apologize. Essentially, all we did was just extended the old contract to April 8/10, whatever it was, added $5,000 to the total amount to offset the extra cost, and increased the escrow amount to the deposit $30,000. So that's the meat of it.
Yeah.
And then he signed it, I signed it, and it was executed and done, and the money came. The 22nd, the day that it was due, he gave me
Drew
confirmed that.
Yes, Merv Glines, I called him just to confirm. Communication was a little spotty with Wyatt for whatever reason, but he did get the money sent. So.
And we'll identify where that pipe's going, so it's upstream and they can add downstream.
Yeah, we already did, so with the center
okay,
line.
So okay, so it's already sent.
Okay, good. Okay.
Yeah, we told Wyatt that would happen, so we got to make sure it happens before
Christmas. So, moving on, is there any old business or closed session items that we need to address? One old business item, let's see, on the consultant group that we were talking about as far as employees or compensation.
So, yeah, the base pay employment manual.
Yeah. I'll just throw this out here. So I was talking with my manager, Roosevelt City. He was the one who basically put our STEP program in place. He spent a lot of time doing that. We are employed by, I think it's the Mercer Group or somebody. We pay an annual fee. They keep up on things as far as the data that we give to them, and they are mandatory. We have to enter and give them data every year on various things, employees and whatnot, and they kind of set those steps for Roosevelt City. Once it's initially done, it's based on how many employees you have. So where we only have 4 employees, it would be very inexpensive per year. But Roosevelt City, they're willing to share with us the STEP programs, at least in their water department, of where they're at. If we want to kind of save a lot of money potentially and do something, they've already done all the studies, they've went through the $15,000 process, it's an option to start anyway. We could bring that over and at least have a discussion.
When was that? Your new manager?
Yeah, we just went through this probably 6 months ago.
Okay, so it's current.
Yes, very current.
Current study. And if it was a 6 month ago current, it was at the peak of...
Right.
So it would be favorable to employees.
Yeah, right. Anyway, it's something we could bring over and at least start the conversation. We don't have to go with it. We can do what we want, but I think it would be a good stepping point.
So when I say bring it over, I mean...
Just the information, okay. The steps for the employees that we have. It's public information, so we can... The steps aren't, but the... I can get that.
So. Be something for us to begin. Right. For
a foundation to start.
The salaries are...
I think
the salaries are public information, but I don't think the steps... Maybe they are. I'm not sure.
Apparently, yeah, it kind of is, but...
Either way.
Unless it disclosed personal information.
Right. Either way, we could at least bring that in as a starting point. If we wanted to employ whatever group this is to kind of keep up on...
Did they do the study?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And I mean, that's what we're looking for, is that kind of crap. So if we can save time and money, I'm for it.
Okay. Anyway, I'll see what I can come up with as far as getting that information the next meeting, hopefully, and we can start that ball rolling. So we need to. Our employees deserve that. We need to have a direction. So anyway, that's all I have for old business. Does anybody else have anything else? Jim, Dixon, Karen?
Health insurance, they got $453 back, so.
Woohoo. We got a rebate?
Yep.
Why? How did we get a rebate when we were up in June? How strange.
Because there's an increase coming in June.
So they thought they'd be proactive.
I don't get that. I
don't know. Okay. That's interesting. Did we overpay or something, potentially?
And it might have been because I have to do an estimate on how much we pay.
Oh, so we may have overpaid. Okay.
What plan are you on? What's it called?
The STAR?
The Expensive Non-Helpful Plan.
Yeah, that's what I'm on, too. And I'm on
the... We're all there.
Us government workers. Can you see that?
Okay. Well, if we don't have anything else, appreciate you guys and all you do and keeping the water going for everybody. And I know it's a thankless job a lot of times, and we appreciate that.
Make the motion to adjourn.
Okay. I made the motion.
You're out of here.
Well, okay.